Your Board of Trustees here at Unity of Michiana meets at least once a month, and throughout the time of the year, in focusing on holding the highest watch and a prayerful, loving space for this spiritual community to continue to move forward and to blossom and to grow. And a part of every meeting, there is holding us in the consciousness of abundance and prosperity. And there's always that invitation for us in our lives and in that expression in our church to bring that forth also. Timothy Simpson is the treasurer of our Board of Trustees, and he is going to speak to you a little bit today about abundance and prosperity.
Thank you, Reverend Sandy. As you guys know, I'm the treasurer on the Board of Trustees, as Reverend Sandy said, and I was asked to say a few words today about the importance of giving. I'm going to do this in two parts. The first part is something that actually happened to me recently. I'm going to share that with you. I'm a little out of my comfort zone. Paige is out of hers. John was a little bit, and so just bear with me. And the stories are rather touching, and I may get choked up from time to time here. So the first one actually happened to me maybe a week or two before Thanksgiving. Something like that. I was in the store, and I was waiting in line. And I was like third or fourth back in line, and the clerk was having some problems, okay? The credit card machine wasn't working. She couldn't find the UPC codes. The tags were missing. It just seemed like everything, a cashier's nightmare, was occurring. And she was getting rather flustered. She was having a real hard time with it. And she started, you know, she was wiping her forehead, and she'd punched the thing and it wouldn't cooperate, and she was just having a real tough time. And the lady that was in front of me, I was talking with her about it, about what was going on, and how, you know, she was trying real hard. There was no fault of the cashier's whatsoever. It wasn't her fault. Everything that was happening was completely external. It was the computer or the tag was missing. No, there's some people behind me that weren't so happy about it, but nonetheless, okay. So finally we get up to the register, and the lady that was in front of me, she says, "Well, you only got a couple items. Why don't you go first?" And I'm like, "No, no." You know, we exchanged all those pleasantries that we all do, and nonetheless, I went ahead and accepted her invitation. And I don't want to miss anything here. So when I got up there, I talked with the cashier, and I just let her know. I said, "Hey, just take a deep breath. This isn't your fault. We're all in this together, and, you know, sometimes these things happen." And I could tell that my words were giving her some calm. You know, it was like, she was like, "Okay, not everybody's mad at me. Not everybody's upset, okay?" It wasn't her fault. It really wasn't. Just to take her time. Take her time. And so she rings me up, and I hand her the credit card. What do you think happened? Yep, it happened. And so I just gently told her, I said, "You know what, never mind that credit card. I'll just pay with cash." Okay? And this, by the way, is after the lady, if I didn't mention it already, the lady let me go in front. I said that right. Okay, so I paid with a 20, and when I got my change, I turned and gave it to the lady behind me. And you'd have swore I gave her $1,000. I mean, she was just startled. She was astonished. She was just like, "Oh my gosh." You know, she had two kids with her. She didn't have a lot in her cart, but it was just really touching, her reaction. Let me see here. There was two things that happened to me. One thing, that I was in a position to give some encouragement to somebody who needed it. The other thing was kind of surprising to me, because when I gave my change to the lady behind me, her reaction, there was something about that that really touched her as well, and I wasn't expecting that. You know, it was a nominal amount of money. The things I took away from that is little things can make big differences in other people's lives. Okay, it wasn't that much money. It also offered some understanding, because when I was talking to the cashier, I was talking loud enough so that the people that were behind me that were a little upset could actually hear what I was saying to her, to, you know, just kind of spread that message a little bit. This, you know, this kind of stuff happens. Life isn't always perfect. The other thing was that the lady in line behind me that I gave my change to, she got immediate gratification for her kindness, and it just made her day. She was just totally elated. So it was the best two-for-one sale ever.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what happened to me. All right, but how does that apply to us in giving here now today? Okay, there's some laws that were at work. There's some universal laws that were at work there. Okay, first of all, there's laws that govern our lives here. Traffic laws are probably one of the more common things that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. Stop signs, traffic lights, speed limits. Those things all control our lives, but they keep our lives in check. They keep our, you know, they keep some order to our society. They keep some, you know, they offer some structure to our lives, right? Well, and those can be varied. I mean, we can check, once in a while they'll change a speed limit or they'll remove a stop sign and things like that. Okay, universal laws are a little bit different. Universal laws are more solid foundational laws. Okay? Some examples of universal laws are electricity. Anybody ever got shocked? Yeah. Electricity finds the path of least resistance to ground. If you happen to have been that path, you know what that's like. There's laws of mathematics. There's laws of science. There's laws of gravity. Has anybody ever told you that they fell out of a tree like a feather?
No.
Right, because you know they didn't. They landed like a rock. Okay. Laws of physics. These are all laws that apply to us. These are universal laws. They're not negotiable. They apply to all of us all the time. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the law of attraction is actually one of those laws. I'm going to give you two examples. Two farmers. You guys were given this, and this is three kernels of corn in a bag, okay? One farmer, farmer number one, plants his crops in the spring. He tends to those crops. He doesn't let the weeds take over his crops. He waters the crops. He fertilizes the crops. He takes good care of them. Summer comes. Harvest comes. What do you think he gets at harvest? He gets a good crop. Why? Because he took the time to plant the seed and nurture it while it grows to a full harvest, right? Farmer two arrives at harvest. I've been there. And you just say, field, where's my crop? Okay. What do you think the response was from the field? Right. He says, who is this person that demands of me a good crop when he has planted no seed? When he has done no work. Make sense?
Yeah.
Farmer number one used the law of attraction to his benefit because he planted that seed. He nurtured it. And when harvest time came, he was able to harvest a good crop. Okay? You get back what you give. Is that not true?
Yeah.
But here's an amazing thing about the law of attraction. He planted a cup of seeds. What did he get back? A bushel. Right? That's a law. I want you to take these. I want you to take them with you. Take them home. Every time you do something good for somebody, with somebody, nurture a child. Help a neighbor. Help somebody that needs it when they're in a crisis mode. Take one of these seeds out. Take it outside. Fling it up in the air. Okay? Out into your yard. And when you do, take your gaze and look up a little bit higher. And say, you know what, Spirit? I expect good things to happen to me because I did something good for someone else. Right? I think that's fair. You can expect it. It's a law. It's going to happen. If you do something good for somebody else, it's going to come back to you. Tenfold. You'll have to forgive me. I don't have any water and my mouth is dry. But thank you, my dear.
Asking, shall receive.
Oh, very good. Thank you. All right. So this week, take your seeds out, plant them, come back next week, because next week it gets even better. There's a little bit more excitement. I hope it's okay if I come up here for a few minutes next week.
Yes.
And it'll be even better, I promise.
Oh.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, look, he left some extra seeds for me. Thank you. Oh, Tim, bless your heart. Yes, go right ahead.
You are so kind, thank you.
Well, you know, and isn't... It's just so magnificent, like you were speaking of the laws of our universe, spiritual laws, that intrinsic laws, and that as we give, we do receive. It's that I always do that Mobius strip with the hands, because it's a constant process. It's not over here one thing and over here another. It's all a part and it's interwoven. So I won't say any more because I'm not sure what you're going to share next week. But thank you for such a delightful story that exemplifies for us the wonders of participating in giving and also in receiving. Oh, now, well, I was so engaged with that. Now I have to, like, okay, kind of come back and present with what I wanted to speak of and share with you today. And obviously it is the Advent of love to this Sunday. And so my talk title is Love, the Greatest Gift. The greatest, greatest gift. And, you know, gosh, aren't we all engaged in the holidays and stuff that go on in whatever way that we may experience Christmas or Kwanzaa or any of the holidays at this time of year that are meaningful spiritually to us? And so we get engaged in all the outer world and the bustle, and to talk about love can be very challenging. From Scripture, Colossians 3:14, it says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And from 1 Corinthians 16:14, it says, "Let all that you do be done with love." So in Scripture, we hear of love all the time. And as I had mentioned earlier, Jesus exemplified what love actually is in a way that no other being of light that has walked this planet recognized was inherent in all things and then lived it and exemplified it. And so I'd like for us to kind of take a little different look at love than how we often perceive it from the human emotional perspective. Because we're all brought up as little babies and then as young adults and have these experiences of love. And yet then when we're told to love everyone, it's like, how do we really feel about that? Maybe not so much. The idea that I would like to have us embrace today is an understanding of love, not as a human emotion, because our human emotions get triggered in all kinds of ways, but to recognize that love is an actual energetic, vibrational rate or frequency of being. And it's something like I spoke of peace last week that comes from within the core of who we are. Love is an energy that emanates in and through and as us. And when we can shift out of love only being our human emotions, you know, because there's a lot of people we don't love a whole lot, right? Yeah, some of them we don't even like too much. And yet we can still recognize that love is universal law. Love is everywhere present, not in the human emotion, but in the resonance and the state of being. And as we take a look at Christmas time and all the stuff that we're doing, and as we look at giving Christmas presents or presents in whatever we do, I'm going to invite us to share not only our outer gift presence, but the gift of our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. And to recognize that that is the greatest gift, friends, that we can share at this time as we cultivate it and experience it through Christmas. Toni Sorensen, who's an inspirational author, she said, the best gift you can open this Christmas season is your own heart, friends. And we forget, don't we? We start out looking for it out there and doing all this stuff, and we forget whatever hurts, whatever things are still resonant within us or our busyness, or we get distracted. We do not open our own heart to receive the gift that's already present there. Our oneness, our connection with infinite spirit. Oh my gosh, friends. What a wonderful gift to give ourselves. Because then as we are infilled, we have that to give forth also. I love this quote from Bob Hope. I've used it before. It says, my idea of Christmas, whether old-fashioned or modern, is very simple. Loving others. Come to think of it, why do we have to wait for Christmas to do that? Yeah. Friends, it's like just embracing at this time our opportunity to experience and understand and express love differently. I'm trying to cut down a little bit because we went a little bit over. So I'm like, I'm editing. No, we did it perfectly. It was absolute because it all works in. It's absolute. But this is editing on the fly. Editing on the fly. I did. I do want to share from Colossians 3:12 through 14. Just clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And over all these virtues, put on love. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. We've always heard this, mostly at wedding ceremonies, right? Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And as we look at our world right now, we can be quite challenged, can we not? Politics. There's some people involved in politics we think we really like. There's some people we think we really do not like at all. There are people, world leaders, that we think we like, and there are some that we think we do not like at all. There are circumstances in our world in other countries, in everything in our lives, our family systems. There's all kinds of things present for us. And if we approach Christmas with a smiley face, Hallmark greeting card only approach, no offense to Hallmark, I love their cards, but you know, it's that sort of fake outer experience that we have oftentimes grown up with. That just, you know, smile, and that's not what love is really all about. Because there are things that people do that we do not love. However, love itself is the healing factor that will begin to shift the stuff we experience in our outer world. It's kind of hard to recognize that. If love starts within us and is us, it is the true design of our being, which is what Jesus taught us in his lessons and as he walked in this planet. If love is that energetic beingness of who we are, and then we have an upsetness about a political figure or something happening in our world or something out here, what happens to the energetic vibration of our wholeness and our love? What happens to that? It goes right to that energetic vibration. We say, that person, that thing, that situation, it should change. Oh my gosh, don't we do that? And as we do that, we forget that that makes no never mind. It doesn't change our world. It doesn't do anything except bring down the energy that could be present on this planet. So if we truly are wanting to be about loving, if we truly want to be about that experience that Christmas time helps call us into practicing, it's going to be important to step into an awareness that love resides right here in each one of us, in the core of who we are, and is not something that we push into an agenda out into our world. We simply let the light that we are shine. And when that energetic vibration, like attracts like, as Tim said, when we let that, if we connect to it in ourselves, when we let that energetic vibration of love and wholeness emanate forth versus some other energy that we get pulled into, when we emanate love and light, friends, this planet changes. And we tend to think we need to do it out there. But friends, it's just here, because this is all that there is. Charles Fillmore from Keep a True Lens said, love in divine mind, in wholeness or God mind, is the idea of universal unity. In expression, it is the power that joins and binds together the universe and everything in it. Love is a harmonizing, constructive power. That divine quality of God that is expressing through all of mankind or all of humankind. In order to be in a place to be loving and to begin practicing this, because friends, we're human, so we have all the kinds of ways we've done things and all the thoughts that we have, and yeah, we're going to be upset with people. We're going to be shopping and someone's going to cut us off, or different things are going to happen, and that's a part of what is. Like last week I was saying, and oh my gosh, you know, did I get the right present for that person? Are they going to still love me if I don't give them the right thing? All of these thoughts and ideas that go through our head, they're there. They're human. But we have the power to recognize that that's not the truth of our being, that that's simply a thought that's been created in us at some point. And at that moment, when we recognize that, we can shift and reconnect to the presence of God inherent in us, that is our wholeness. And part of the way that we do that is by learning how to forgive. And we have to start first and foremost, as it said, with ourselves. Because until we can release the things that we hang on to, that we judge ourselves about, that we feel guilty about, then what? That the door of our heart is not open, friends. Wilford Peterson, who is a Science of Mind author and contributes to many publications and magazines, said, "Learn to love yourself, be gentle with yourself, to forgive yourself. For only as we have the right attitude towards ourselves can we have the right attitude towards others." How easy is it to say, "Oh, yeah, you're fine. Well, you're judging yourself." When we feel that guilt, it gets transmitted out there, does it not? So first and foremost, if we're going to be practicing love, practice forgiving self simply by letting go. Because we, whatever has happened in the past or whatever we haven't done or thought we should do, it is no longer in the present and what is now. And to keep running over that, change it, doesn't make it any different. It's simply by letting it go, turning it over in light, however you want to visualize it, however you want to prayerfully do that, and shift into that presence of light. Swami Dayanagatan said, "There is no stronger healing power than love. Love is pure magic. The mere presence of love transforms people. There is nothing more holy than love, since love makes people whole." I just love that statement. I thought that was delightful. So let us remember as we go forward in our week and as we prepare for Christmas and as we look at what gifts we choose to give, let us know that the greatest gift at Christmas is the transformational power of love. The greatest gift at Christmas is a transformational power of love, and it's you and I living in it, living in the love that we have for ourselves, in resonating that love light energy out. That's what transforms our world, our planet, our own experiences, and it is what then attracts all of that back into who and what we are. Anthony Williams, who was a New Paradigm consultant and author, said, "Love has the power to cure, to heal, to calm, to change, and to unite." Use this power often, friends. Use it often. Just a little shift in our awareness as we move to the core of our being and to an experience of love. Use that power often. Just emanate it. Let it float through you. Let it rise and energize like when we play the toning bowl. And Sir Christian Goldman Allman, who is a author and a poet and a screenwriter, he says, "This Christmas, be the light for those who stand in the dark, friends." Let's be the light for those who stand in the dark. And let us step forward in that consciousness that lifts us up, and in so doing, it lifts our world. Now, the Sunday of Advent of Love is the Sunday when we acknowledge those in our lives who have made a difference to us. We have what we call our remembrance tree. You will have noticed, for those of you who are here on your seat, you have a little white paper ornament. It's in the shape of a heart. And I will invite you to write either the name of, or you can write several names on it, a single name, whoever you would care to especially bless or remember, perhaps, or someone who is in your life, or maybe someone you're estranged from and you want to connect to. And for those of you who are viewing this by live stream, if you care to post a name, you can just put a first name if you want. Susan will take those down and she'll write them on a paper heart and put them on the tree. Or you may just choose to do it on your own, at your own house. You may have a tree there. Take a little slip of paper, tuck it in the mantle, put it in the Christmas tree. But take a moment now to breathe into your heart and to embrace in that energetic vibration of love those who have you would especially wish to share this love light with. And from Oscar Wilde, regarding our remembrance tree, keep love in your heart. The consciousness of loving and being loved brings a warmth and a richness to life that nothing else can bring. So as you have completed those, feel free to come forward and put your ornament on the tree. And as we close for the day, I will share with you a quote from, most of you know Gary Zukav is an inspirational author and brings wonderful messages. And what he says reminds us, eventually you will come to understand that love heals everything and love is all there is. Friends, let's live in that space of loving one another from the core of our being throughout the season and beyond.